This is Fracturing Football, where producers Jack Edwards and Noah Lichtenberg break down the latest in fantasy football news.
Welcome to the sixth show of Fracturing Football, only on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. I'm your host, Noah Lichtenberg. Alongside of me, my co-host, as always, Jack Edwards.
Thank you, Noah. We had an incredible week 9 of NFL football, and joining us to talk about it is Spencer Fleischer, Luke Donovan, and Matt Estelle. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good.
I am fantastic. Awesome.
Today we're going to look at star performances, or changes in rosters such as injuries or trades, and who to pick up because of them, as well as our first look at the playoffs.
And to start off the show, we're talking about somebody we talk about pretty much every week, and that's Patrick Mahomes. He's second-year quarterback.
Yoda.
I mean, he's breaking all kinds of records. I mean, he broke Deshaun Watson's record of most fantasy points through 10 NFL starts of 254 points. He is also on track to break Peyton Manning's record of fantasy points in a season, which is 410. He's on pace for 430 right now. Do you guys think he can break? He can become the most points scored player in fantasy point history?
I think it depends on if he plays week 17. Because if they're already in the playoffs, like they already have a lock spot, I think that they'll bench him and make sure that their players are rested.
Go ahead.
I think Pat Mahomes absolutely can break that record. Maybe not by 20 points, but maybe by a couple. I will say he is Yoda. The way he talks is hilarious. I love watching his post-game interviews. But Pat Mahomes is just, he is something else. He's come in as a rookie. It's almost comparable to Dak Prescott. How he's come through and he's been insane. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball exceptionally well. I would be surprised if he didn't get at least 415 points.
Thielen had however many 100-yard games in a row, and Michael Thomas has that security of getting a ton of targets from Drew Brees because he's that number one wide receiver there. We'll talk about later in the show, but Dez Bryant is being tried out by the team. That could impact his receptions possibly if there's another weapon on that team. But they don't have a ton of wide receiver targets, and so in terms of fantasy, I don't see why he's not up there. I think he's, if I had to choose between him and Thielen, I would take Michael Thomas because I think he has more explosiveness at least versus Thielen, who's just, I mean, he's a baller. Like, he's underrated, but I think that Michael Thomas, at least in my view, is the number one wide receiver in fantasy.
One thing I really like about Michael Thomas is his schedule week 14, week 15, and week 16. Week 14, he's at Tampa Bay. Week 15, at Carolina. And week 16, against Pittsburgh. Those are all very good matchups for wide receivers. And I feel like that playoff schedule brings him ahead of Thielen, especially because he's also had the bye week.
Well, I think the biggest thing that can differentiate Michael Thomas from Adam Thielen is their quarterback. I mean, you have Drew Brees in New Orleans, who is one of the greatest of all time, one of the most consistent quarterbacks of all time. And you have Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, who isn't terrible. But I think that the way the offense is set up in both teams and who the quarterback is and all those different factors that play into it, I think Michael Thomas has the edge over Thielen.
100% agree. He catches 90% of his targets. I was watching the game against the Rams. He catches 90% of the targets thrown. That is unheard of in wide receivers. That is insane, and I feel like he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He's really stepped up. I feel like overall, like not just fantasy, he's definitely top three. Between him, Brown, and Hopkins.
I would put him top five, but I think for sure Michael Thomas top five in the league. He's absolutely insane.
All right, so transitioning on from a running back who has been very consistent in Melvin Gordon to another running back that has not, in Duke Johnson for the Browns. He scored 30 PPR points this week, finally delivering on what has been a somewhat disappointing season for him. And the Browns, as a team, have a good schedule for the last half of the year. But my question is, I know some people in my fantasy leagues have picked up Chubb and even started him. How do you compare Chubb and Johnson looking at for this season as well as the future for the Cleveland Browns?
So I would still say that Nick Chubb is the RB1 because he gets the carries. He doesn't really get the passes and the receptions, but he still gets more carries than Duke Johnson because Duke Johnson only had one carry for 8 yards. But he had 9 receptions for 78 yards and 2 TDs.
Yeah. Duke Johnson, to me, just because I'm stuck in my ways, Duke Johnson, to me, has always been and always will be a red zone running back. And, I mean, we see him line up as a wide receiver sometimes. So, like, that's taken away from his value as a running back, making him more of an all-purpose player. Nick Chubb is that running back. He is RB1 for Cleveland. Duke Johnson has been great in past years. This year isn't his year, but we'll see consistency from him soon. I mean, like you said, he dropped 30 points, which is insane. I could see multiple 10-plus, 15-plus point games coming soon, but it won't be from touches. It'll be from receptions.
Duke Johnson is reminds me a lot of a James White-type player. He's going to get the receptions. He lines up as a receiver. James White doesn't typically do that, but they get their points in the same way, receptions. And that's the thing where the Patriots are just a better team, and White fits into that role. Cleveland, they're inconsistent, questionable. Baker Mayfield's been up and down. He's been rising as their new quarterback. But other than that, Duke Johnson and the rest of the Browns in general are going to be boom or bust players, in my opinion.
I mean,
later on this show when we discuss the playoff picture. But I think we want to transition into injury and trade updates. And I know one of the updates I heard from this weekend is that Dez Bryant is going to start trying out for the 7-1 Saints that we were just talking about. Is he someone you want to pick up? If he does join the Saints, he would probably be the number two wide receiver there. Is he worth picking up, even starting in any of your fantasy football leagues?
See, in several of my leagues, I drafted Dez Bryant in the very late rounds, assuming that he was going to sign for like the Cleveland Browns or some team and at least have some value there. So I picked him up with low value there. I have had to drop him because obviously you can't have a guy who's a free agent on your team and realistically justify that. And so now, looking at him now, I struggle to pick him up because I have a lot of guys that I don't want to drop because he's such a question mark. First of all, we don't even know if he's going to sign for the Saints. Second of all, we don't even know if he's going to perform that well for them because it's been how long since he's been a top-end wide receiver. And thirdly, will he get a ton of targets? He's going to be joining a Saints team that has Michael Thomas. He's the clear wide receiver number one for them, and he's going to be just getting a few receptions. And I'm not sure. If you have the space on your roster, take a gamble on him. You roll the dice, and he's the player that he used to be.
All right, so I want to compare this to how at the beginning of the season, I know I brought up how Nick Chubb had one rush that was an amazing rush, and he scored a touchdown. And I brought up the question, should you pick him up and make your fantasy team deeper just in case he becomes that starting running back for the Browns? Look at him now. He's close to being a number one running back in fantasy football leagues. So if you have a great player, that's what I'm comparing him to. You have a great athlete in Nick Chubb. You have another great athlete in Dez Bryant. I think they're going to do well no matter where they go. The problem is I am going to wait until he does sign with the Saints to pick him up.
I would completely agree on one part, but on another part, I'm not going to say which one I agree on. one second. Okay. I would definitely not pick him up. He, even though he might be a good target in the red zone, that doesn't mean that him and Drew Brees are going to have an instant connection. Because Drew Brees has the connection with Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and Benjamin Watson, who's very, like, he's a good sleeper. He's a good sleeper tight end because there aren't very good tight ends this year.
I think, best case scenario, Dez Bryant signs with the New Orleans Saints, they recreate the greatest show on turf. I think Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Terry Holt, compare them to Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Dez Bryant, and Michael Thomas. Like, that's greatest show on turf 2.0.
All right. One player that I was particularly surprised about this weekend. Rewinding a bit, I had Jimmy Garoppolo on one of my fantasy teams. He got injured. And fast forwarding, Nick Mullins on Thursday night scored 22 fantasy points, 3 passing touchdowns. What is going on with the 49ers QB team?
Let's all just remember who they played. The Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
How good are the Oakland Raiders? Hey, he did great. 3 touchdowns, solid performance. But, you know, new quarterback, they usually have a good game, but then get a little bit of tougher opponent. Maybe the Giants this week, they have a decent defense. We'll see.
So when people get tape on them, the defenses will learn his tendencies, and then they'll know what he is good at and bad at. And I also want to say something else, that he was verified on Twitter halfway through the game.
Okay, I want to say one thing. Barstool Big Cat tweeted out, "Don't sleep on Nick Mullins." And I took it as a joke at first, then I checked out the matchup. I was like, okay, Nick Mullins, he's never played a game, never played a down.
He never dressed.
Yeah, he never dressed. He was promising in preseason, but that's preseason. And then he's playing the Raiders. So I'm like, I had a split second where I was sitting there with my finger over the pickup player, and I almost did it. But it was okay. I played Deshaun Watson. He still put up good numbers. But I was very close to actually starting Nick Mullins just as a joke, and that would have been insane. But
one thing I thought was the craziest thing was in the post-game interviews, Brett Favre called in and was, because he went to the same college that Nick Mullins went to, and he said, "I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised that he did this well."
Didn't he break one of? He broke a record, right?
Was it Brett Favre's record in college? He broke.
Yeah. So I mean, well, okay. This could be. So Alvin Kamara, when he was in college, he was a second option.
Yeah.
Like he barely got any touches, but he when he was out there, he made use of what he got. I think you compare that to Nick Mullins. I mean, you know, he was good in college, and it's just one of those unexpected things. Like, no one expected Kamara to do well, and he did. No one expected Nick Mullins to do well, and he did. But then again, like we said, it's only one game.
I mean, of course, and that was against the Raiders. I mean, if
right.
anything.
Of all teams.
Arguably the worst team in the NFL, I would say, especially after trading all their guys, Khalil Mack and then Amari Cooper. But I think that for the 49ers, you're playing the Giants next. And then the Buccaneers.
That's promising.
Those are games against teams that have one win, and the Buccaneers have a few wins, but they have a lot of question marks around them.
Yep.
For Nick Mullins, if he continues to be the starter for them, I mean, why not? I mean, why can't he be good? Why, I mean, he surprised people against the Raiders. Again, Spencer, you mentioned a great point. When teams start to get tape on him, that's going to be when the deciding factor is, can he withstand defenses that don't or have more reads on him? And that's going to be the make or break point for him as a quarterback in the NFL.
All right, before you guys all leave, we're going to wrap this show up soon. But before you leave, looking at the teams that are in the hunt, as well as the teams that have one of those later seeds, who do you think of the teams that are in the hunt or that might have that fifth or sixth seed, who do you think is going to make it to the playoffs? And by the end of the season, who is going to be the team that moves forward more?
I think I'm just going to give you my Super Bowl prediction. I'm thinking Rams, Patriots, Rams win.
Now, that's a bold prediction considering they have the two best records in the NFL.
Yes.
Chiefs, Saints, Patriots are four.
I think it's going to be, this might be biased again, but Steelers or
that's
Saints.
That's a joke. All right,
Steelers, Saints, and I think,
that
the Saints will win the Super Bowl because of Drew Brees' significant performance with 400-plus yards and five TDs.
Now, we have not had enough discussion about arguably the best team in the NFL.
Patriots?
The Chicago Bears. Oh. You look at that defense over there, Khalil Mack. They got one of the best defenses in the NFL. I mean, I think they are as close to being a 7-1 team as you can be. I mean, they had a very close game against the Packers week one. I think that they are, if not a year off, they have Trubisky on a rookie deal. Next year, I think, could be the Bears' year if they continue this growth. Wide receivers have been poor for them so far, but I think that if I had to make a Super Bowl prediction right now, I would say the Patriots are going to get there because I think the Chiefs, in the end, They just don't scream play. They choke. They are not that great in the playoffs. The Patriots are going to get there. And then going up against them is going to be the Rams because I think that they just have significantly more talent than the Saints themselves. And then I think the Patriots are going to come out on top and Tom Brady's going to get a 6th Super Bowl ring for himself.
Hopefully I'm going to take a bold prediction right here and say the Chargers versus the Saints.
Oh, my gosh.
But then they're 6-2.
That's better than the Chiefs. Better than
that's
the
true.
Chiefs.
That's true.
All right. But that wraps up the show. This has been the 6th show of Fracturing Football, only on 91.3 WHJ. I'd like to thank Matt, Luke, and Spencer for coming on. And for Jack Edwards, this has been Noah Lichtenberg. You're listening to Fracturing Football.